Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. You are on the Healing Hour, and I am your guest, and I'm your host, Minister Arthur Burgess III, and I have a special guest with me. But before I bring up my special guest, I just want to let you know we are on PKN Network, that is Purpose Kingdom Network, and I want you guys to call in and ask questions, because the guest I have for you today, we're talking about transitions. We've been dealing for the past month with transitions. This is part four, and this part four is dealing with mental health. So I need you guys to tune in. I need you guys to answer and ask questions. And if you want to call in, the number is 319-527-6091. That is 319-527-6091. Or if you have T-Mobile, that is 323-870-4174. That is 323-870-4174. This is probably one of my favorite, right now it's going to be one of my favorite guests, and you haven't even heard her open her mouth, and it's because, you know, she has such an anointed presence, and I know right now, you know, she thinks that I see her struggle, and I see her pain, but I see her radiance. And I see the anointing on her. I see God with her. And I'm excited. But before we start any show, you know what we do. We go to the Word. And normally, you know, I have a scripture that I've been sticking with. And I have a few scriptures that I've been sticking with. But I want to just share this quick scripture with you, because we're going through a season where everybody's hurting, everybody's tired. I mean, we're dealing with some level of anxiety, and we're worried, and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do tomorrow. How can we heal? How can we recover? But there's always an answer in the Word. And that scripture is Proverbs 3:9-10. That is Proverbs 3:9-10. And it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Right now, we're trying to figure out what can we do. What can we do to recover financially, to recover within our own homes, and how can we reset things that's going on, because we're dealing with the shutdown and lock-ins and quarantines. But the Bible tells us easily, if we honor God with our first fruit, then we will always be full. And let's be clear. First fruit does not always mean first fruit of your finance, because what if you don't have finance? The first fruit of your praise, the first fruit of your time, the first fruit of your prayer life. When you wake up in the morning and you talk to God first, and you honor Him first, and you have Him first on your mind, that is still your first fruit. So guys, let's give God not just our best, but our first. And He said, if you give Him your first, then you will always be filled. And I believe somebody needs to be filled. And it starts with giving God your first time. As soon as you wake up in the morning, Lord, I love you. I couldn't wait to wake up and talk to you and tell you that I love you and I adore you and I worship you and I honor you. When you give God your first and you give Him your best, He gives you His best. So right now, if you're dealing with something, it's okay. We all are. Let's still remember to give God our first and give Him our best. Amen. So, like I said, I have a special guest, and this young lady goes by the name of Minister Robin Leslie. How are you, Robin?
I am blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm happy to be here, and thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, man. You know, you and I, we talk, and you know, we talk. You know, you start preaching to me, you know, I say like five words, and then you just, you know, you just go into a sermon, and then you go into worship. So I'm just going to act like that's going to happen tonight, and I'm going to move out the way.
Oh, definitely will. I have two words, okay? Hallelujah. I'm excited for this show. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. And real quick before you go, I always, you know, when we first met and you came to Verity and, you know, you were trying to feel your way through, you were smiling, but you were still trying to get to know everybody, and, mm-hmm. and you come into this church where everybody's happy to see you, and you know, your son was running around, and you were like, stop, sit down. You're like, no, let that boy go. Come here. You know, give him some candy. And you were like, well, wait a minute. I come into this place, but nobody knows who I am, and everybody's loving on me, and nobody's, like, you know, trying to figure out who I am. They just they just throw me in the mix. You know, I want to get into your testimony, but first I just want to get into just that experience when you walked inside of Verity Outreach Worship Center.
Okay, so let me tell you, it was great. So I knew Chester. I've known Chester for 10 years. We used to work at IHOP together in my early 20s, and he used to hear me hum to myself. And he was like, you know, you need to sing. Like, I know that you can sing. I would love for you to sing for me. You know, he was doing gigs back then and doing drumming and stuff. And so I wound up leaving that job, but I kept in touch with Chester. And he would text me and be like, you know, I got an open mic. I know you got stage fright. I know that, you know, you got your nerves, but the only way to get over your nerves and to get to the public singing is to face your fears. So he texted me one night, and he was like, I got an open mic coming. You should bring your friends and your family and get your feet wet. Just get on the mic. And God really blessed me, because I have met so many people through just that one open mic night. And he really pushed me outside of my comfort zone. And I just thank God for our assistant pastor. So I knew Chester and I knew Dom from previous gigs that we did when I was in the world. And now I only sing for the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when I came to the church, it was so full of love. Pastor Clark Sr. he's an amazing pastor. He's so real. And he's so full of love, but he's also full of wisdom and truth. Right. And we need that in these days, in these last and perilous days. We need wisdom, and we need truth. We need somebody to tell us the truth. And a lot of people don't like to hear the truth, but it was in Proverbs, something about somebody turns away correction, something like that. Only a something turns away correction, and it's like I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. I always want to be faced with my truth, because how can we get past our sins? How can we get overcome these fleshly desires if we're not faced with the truth that we are sinners?
Right.
Whether you're in the church or not, you are a sinner because of this body. So I love him for that. I love him for bringing truth and wisdom and love, most importantly. Me and Roman, my two-year-old, we felt so loved and so welcomed. And that's what made me transition, hallelujah, from one church to his church. I was already a member of a church, and when I experienced the church and him and his preaching, I was like, this is where I need to be. When I went to a meeting and I heard about the core values of the church and the goals and the mission of the church, and it lined up with mine, I said, this is where I need to be.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I prayed about it, and the Lord made no question. He's like, I want you here. This is your home. You're already around your family. Look around. And it was Chester, it was Dom, and I brought a surprise guest came with me. I don't know if you know Maurice, but Maurice came with me, and y'all were singing all of my favorite songs, and I was like, Lord, like, my spirit is moved, and I was moved to tears, and I mean, it was a great worship session, and I was like, this is my home. I can feel,
wow.
You know when you're at home. At the other church, it was full of love, but it didn't feel as homey as there.
I got you.
So, yeah.
All right. I mean, when you walked into your it was just like, you know, that's how we are with everybody. So it was one of those days where, okay, who's the new person? Like, you know, let's level with them. Let's, like, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, we got somebody new to love. And, you know, say, hey, guys, we got somebody new to love. Come on. And you know, you just came in and you fit right in. And, you know, we already treated you like a member as soon as you walked in the door, you know.
Yeah.
It was we put you to work as soon as you walked in the door.
Yeah.
So,
and shout out to
you know,
Minister Keisha as well. Minister Keisha,
for sure.
Home. I love her so much.
Right. You know, so I just wanted to, you know, ask you that question because it was very quick. You went from coming and, you know, you stopped in a couple times and you brought a friend, and then, you know, I think a few times you came in without Roman, and then everybody gave you an attitude like, where's my boy? And I definitely was one of those people. You better not walk into church without my boy. And you caught a real quick attitude that day, and it's okay, you know. Come to church without him again. Watch what happens. It's going to be a misunderstanding. I better see him.
You're right. But let me tell you how Roman is actually one of the reasons how I got back into the church. Because I was out in the world for a good 12, 13 years I was in the world.
Wow.
And doing all kinds of God knows what. And when I had my son, I really had to face myself and say, do I want to raise my son in the world, or do I want to go back to God? Because my son and his walk depends on how I raise him.
Right? You're right.
The scripture says, raise your children in the way that they ought to go, and when they get older, they will not depart. When I had my son, I really had to face myself. It was like, how did I get here? I know better not to be out here fornicating. I know better not to have a baby out of wedlock. I know better. Like, I grew up in Sabbath church. It's like, I don't even know how I got into the world. I do. I was drawn away by my own lust. And I was in the world for a long time. But when I had my son, I knew that I wanted a holy man. I wanted to raise a holy man. I at least wanted to give him a chance at holy.
Roman, you are on my show, sir, and you are messing. You are being a guest on my show right now.
All right, go get your family.
Okay. All right, so. Thank you, Roman, for being a holy interruption into the show. But, you know, what I know that you said, you know, you had a child out of wedlock and all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you something. Don't you ever beat yourself up about that. Don't you ever feel bad, because I was there, too. I had mine the same way, and she was the best thing that ever happened to me. I would have never grown up. I would have never been the man that I am today. I would have never, you know, been able to see God in a different way, you know, if it wasn't for her. So I thank God even for the fall, because I was licensed, I was in the pulpit, I was preaching, and then I had my daughter. And just that step back pushed me forward. So I thank God for her, and trust me that that moment helped me be a better person, and it helped me be a better Christian. So you stick with that, and you own that. You own that thing, man. Don't you try to make it seem like it's a shame moment. You take that and you run with it. But
well, now I'm saying that. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. So now I gotta ask you the big question.
Okay.
The real big question is, what's your testimony? What has God brought you through?
Mm-hmm. The Lord has brought me through a list of things. I really have to dig deep. And it's not just one thing. It's many, many things, and we're still working on things. But I'll start with my list. So he's brought me out of depression. He's brought me out of fearfulness. He's brought me out of, we already talked about fornication and being unequally yoked with a partner. He brought me out of that. He's brought me out of hatred. He brought me out of hatred and unforgiveness.
Wow.
He brought me out of powerlessness. I felt powerless at one time. He brought me out of bisexuality.
Okay.
He brought me out of atheism, and he brought me out of agnosticism.
Wow.
All this, though, when you really look at, these are just the symptoms of the root of a problem. These are just symptoms. The issue was, I didn't know who I was.
Right.
So I had an identity issue. The Lord created me to be powerful.
Right.
The Lord created me to be holy and sanctified. And He created me to be great. But I didn't know that because I wasn't in my word. So I felt powerless. I felt fearful. One of my favorite scriptures says, and this brought me out of a lot, that in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I really had to hang on to that scripture. It's brought me out of a lot, because when fear comes upon me, I have the power now to reject it, because I know that's not God. That's not of the Lord, and I'm not going to accept that. I don't have to actually fear. You have to come subject to me, because the Lord lives in me. So I don't have to be fearful anymore. I know that I have the power to bring fear under subjection, and I know that I have love in my heart, which prevails over everything, and of a sound mind. Very important, that last part, and of a sound mind, because a lot of people don't understand how it feels to lose your mind.
Yeah.
People say
that.
Mm-hmm. People say it, as a figure of speech, but I literally lost my mind on multiple occasions. So 5 years ago, I'm at work. I was a server at Longhorn Steakhouse. And I believe it was on a Saturday, and the Pope had just come in town. So the Pope and all his people, flooding the doors, and it's crazy busy, and I'm, I got a party of 15, and I got a whole section over. I was just really busy. And I was so busy that my heart was racing. It was like I was running a marathon. I was nonstop. And all of a sudden, I couldn't put the orders in the computer. All of a sudden, I would look at my pad. I would say, okay, I got to put this in the computer. I would look at the computer and forget it. And that happened like 10 times. It happened 10 times. I'm like, whoa, something is wrong. I can't concentrate. I cannot focus right now. And so where I was the leader at my job, now I had to give leadership to somebody else. I'm like, look, you got to take over because I can't even think. And eventually, as the shift went farther and farther on, I got paranoid. And it was like these big white men, they had on, they were like biker men. They had snakes on the back of their what do you call them things? Them little leather vests. Yeah, they had
the motorcycle vests. Yeah.
The motorcycle vests. And they were looking at, it was a, like I was the only black one there, the only black server. They were looking at me as if they were looking down on me. I mean, they didn't know me at all, but they, it's like they had hate for me. And it literally made me, I was already going out of my mind and didn't know what was going on, and it made me paranoid. I walked off the job with all the money. I ran.
Wow.
I got in my car. And I just felt so paranoid. It was like, yo, the devil is chasing you. And because I didn't know that I'm a child of God and the devil cannot hurt me unless the Lord gives sanction, I ran. I believe if I had word in me, I would have brought that paranoia under subjection. I would have brought that loss of mind under subjection.
Wow.
But I didn't have any word to protect me. And so I wound up spending 7 days in the mental institution, and they diagnosed me with bipolar disorder.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And for the next 5 years after that, even up until last December, like this December that just passed, I was in and out of the hospital like every 3 months because I didn't believe I was sick. I was like, I'm not taking the medicine. I'm not sick.
Right. So as far as your treatment, how are you dealing now? How are you coping now?
So I take my medication because it helps me. And I have a son, and I have to be there for my son. So I have accepted it to the point where I can take my medicine.
Okay.
Everything.
All right. I want to share this one little tip, especially for those who are listening. I regularly talk about mental health, especially in the Christian community, because a lot of times we think that the only thing we can do is, you know, if we pray, then all of a sudden mental health doesn't exist anymore, or we pray and then everything just goes away, you know, the Bible always tells us to seek wise counsel we talked about, remember I did an entire study about the law of the mind, mental health, when the enemy attacks the mind. And I was told by a pastor and a licensed, as someone who is a licensed therapist, that the Bible is a wetland. And we need to understand that, even though we have the Bible, we also need a plan. You know, if you have a loaded gun and don't know how to use the gun, what's the point in using the gun? I just want to definitely put those out there because your story is going to help somebody who is dealing with this issue. And we want to let them know you made a bold statement. You say, hey, look, I need you to take my medicine. And a lot of people will say, well, all I had to do is pray. And then, I'll be fine. But the truth of the matter is, so go ahead, continue your story. Dude.
Well, what I can say is that if I had word in me, it would have comforted me for that moment, and maybe the outcome would not have been so extreme, but I definitely have to take my medicine. But the word is definitely comforting.
Amen, definitely. And now that you're taking your medication and you're coping, what are some of the other ways that you deal with coping and dealing with your clinical diagnosis?
Mm-hmm. So I had to realize that I was putting too much power into others to make me happy.
Mm. Okay.
And that was one of the sources of my depression. I was depending on boyfriends to make me happy. When the issue was, Robin, you're not happy with yourself, and you are responsible for that.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Instead of putting all this responsibility on my boyfriends, expecting them to make me happy, now I put it on myself and I go to church, and I am now affiliated with a congregation of people that love me, like, and it's pure love. It's not like I have to give them anything. I don't have to do anything but show up and worship, and they love me. I put my trust in God. I'm in the transition from sinner to saint. When I was a sinner, I was dependent on guys to give me money, to give me their cars and things, using men.
Right.
The things that I needed because I was afraid to trust God. Because honestly, I didn't know whether there was a God or not, and that's what drove me. That's what led me to agnosticism and then eventually atheism.
Wow. Wow.
But when I had that episode and I didn't have nobody to call, Jesus was there.
Come on. See you preaching now.
I talked to him when I was in the dark room. And there was no phone, and it was just quiet, and I had already been stuck with the needle to sedate me. I prayed to Jesus.
Wow.
And he brought me out. He sent the help.
Wow.
The song say, I look to the hills. The scripture says, I look to the hills from which cometh my help.
Wow.
And I thank him for not leaving me in that place. Because at one time, I was going in and out of the hospital so often that they were starting to question whether I was stable enough to take care of my son. And the Lord showed me, he showed me the future that of the path that I was on. And he said, is that what I made you? That's not the future I have for you. You're living a lie.
Wow. And definitely, I know, you know, just by seeing you with your son, how great of a mother you are, and you know, you're raising a 2-year-old boy by yourself, and Roman is busy, and he's so loving and so sweet. I mean,
yes,
when you walk into a room, he sees you, he gives you a hug.
Yes, everybody.
You know, everybody gets a hug. Oh, my God. But I got 4-year-olds in the house that are about to be 5. So I know he's busy. And it's amazing. I see God transforming you and transitioning you, and you said something that was so powerful, and you said you get to go to church and you get to worship and you get to receive the word and sit and you get to be ministered to.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't understand how important that is, especially for those who work in the ministry. Those who go to church to work. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I know that we go to church to keep the Sabbath, and I know that we go to church, you know, to keep God. But the truth is, when we go to church, a lot of times, being in ministry, we are
mm-hmm.
on the job.
Oh, yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And that time, like you said, that time to actually sit there and hear the word and get something.
It's a blessing.
Yeah, it's a blessing. And
yes, it is.
I think that all of those who are in ministry, we need that moment. We need, you know, a couple of days or a couple of weeks that we actually just say, hey, you know what? I'm sitting myself down today, or
mm-hmm.
this is my down day. Like,
mm-hmm.
if there's a ministry staff, you know, this is my down day. And we do that in there. You know, because it's a collective group, we're able to say, hey, you know what, I'm not feeling well today, or, you know, this is going on. And another minister is able to say, hey, you know what, I got it. Don't even worry about it. You know, I'll take care of it. You know,
mm-hmm.
and we're able to rotate in, you know, because ministers, pastors are falling out of the ministry, and a lot of, you know, there are pastors committing suicide, and they're in mental hospitals from nervous breakdowns, and a lot of them say, well, you know, it, you know, if they had God, they wouldn't be in this position. No, they had God. They were overworked. They weren't covered by members. You know, members would call and gleam and constantly pull on the man or woman of God, but they never did anything to pour anything back into them. So, you know, that opportunity to take a break and to sit down and enjoy God for yourself, and when you're not working, oh, that time is valuable. A lot of people don't understand how I get excited for those few days that I get. I don't get many, but the few that I get. So yeah, that was a very valuable lesson for sure. Another thing that you said was that when it was you by yourself, God came and He didn't leave you. And you found yourself in a lonely place. You found yourself in a dark place, and it was just you and God. What is your relationship with God now? Because we're talking about transitions. What is your relationship with God now?
I am learning to depend solely on Him. I am learning discipline and keeping His commandments, because what I've noticed in these days is that people say out of their mouth, I love God. People say out of their mouth, I pray. People say out of them, they do a lot of lip service, but when it comes to proving how much they love God with their actions by following His statutes and His laws, it's like, that's too much. I can't do it. And I choose not to be that person anymore. Because I was. Anymore.
Wow.
So it began when I quit my job because they wouldn't allow me to have Saturdays off. I grew up in a Sabbath church, so I know what the Lord says about His Sabbath. Right.
Wow.
And I was worshiping money, and I was worshiping work. Work was my master.
Wow.
For 10 years, I was on a grind. I was working 7 days a week, and I was working doubles on a Sabbath.
Wow. Okay.
But it convicted me. It convicted me for years. And I said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. Because this way it's not working. I'm not rich. I'm not rich. I'm working 7 days a week. I'm breaking my neck. I'm working on the Sabbath. I'm breaking God's law. And what am I getting out of it? Headaches. My body is wearing down. I'm tired.
Yo, get straight to the point. That's the bottom line. Like, I'm breaking God's commandments and I'm not gaining nothing out of the deal.
Come on.
Like, somebody good.
So that's the first thing I did. I decided to put my faith in the Lord that He would provide for me a job that I can have, you know, that provides me everything that I need for me and my son. I started putting my trust in the Lord, which was very hard, because the reason why I was working 7 days a week was because I was working out of my own might.
Right.
I was depending on my own self.
Right.
So now when I gotta depend on the Lord, it's like, whoa, like I don't know what's gonna happen. But that's when faith comes in, and we've been working on my faith.
Amen.
I actually did wind up getting hired right before all this Corona stuff started happening. So after this is over, I'm sure I'll have a job. I'm working on obedience.
Wow.
You've been talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, just keeping His commandments and sacrificing and showing Him, not just saying, I love the Lord, but showing Him as well. When you're in a relationship and somebody says, I love you, but then they slap you, which one are you going to believe?
Right. Amen. That's right. That's right. Love has rules. And
yes,
every relationship has rules, and it has a, you know, if I love you, I'm going to show you that I love you the way that you tell me I should show you.
Amen. And the Lord
know,
says, if you love me,
keep my commandment. See, look at you. I told you was going to preach.
Amen.
You know, I just love the fact that, you know, you're able to talk so, you know, honestly about, you know, things that you've been through. You know, it's not easy telling somebody, you know, that you went to a mental institution, that you had to be medicated, and it's not easy, and you know, you did it, and you didn't just do it. You did it boldly, and you was able to say, hey, look, this is what God brought me through. And right now, see, here's the thing. What I want you to do, right? So right now, you told God, you told people that God brought you out of a place, and now I want you for like a good couple minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want you, because people are listening. I want you to tell them how, if God brought you out, they can come out too. So just for a few minutes, I know you, like I said, I know God has a word in your heart. I know there's something in, you know, in there to come out. So I'm just going to give you a few minutes, and I want you to tell somebody else how to overcome that transition.
Mm-hmm. If I can come out of depression, I was at a point of depression where I wanted to kill myself every day, right? Every day. I laid in my bed before work and I cried. I was in a relationship that was not healthy for me. Me and my son's father was not seeing eye to eye. We were living in the same household. We weren't even talking to each other. We would walk right past each other. And I was literally alone. And I cried for days and I cried for nights. But, you know, love will bring you out. And it was the love of my son that got me out of bed. He needed to eat, and he needed to be held, and he needed attention. And it was my love for my son that got me out of bed and got me out of that comfort. I said, I can't kill myself, because if I do something like that, no, number one, I'm going to hell. I don't want that.
Okay.
Holiness or hell. And two, my son will be left behind, and I cannot have that. And God is love.
Right.
So I don't know if y'all can see that connection there. But the thing that got me out of my depression was love, the love for my son. And the love that we have for each other is the love that God has for us. If you are going through depression, if you are going through mental illness, you have to understand the love that God has for you. I want you to imagine your closest friend, somebody that never abandoned you, somebody that always heard you out and never judged you. I want you to imagine somebody that you know for a fact loves you. That is how God loves you.
Wow.
And I need you to understand that the enemy is always in your ear. Always, nonstop, telling you that you are not loved. That is a lie. The enemy is telling you that you are not enough, and that is a lie. He's a liar. That's all he does is lie and lie. That's why you got to get in the Word. You got to gird yourself with the truth. Hallelujah. With the Word of God, which is the truth that cuts asunder. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That word will cut right through a lie. That's why we got to get in this word. I would encourage somebody out there who is going through depression to start in Proverbs or start in Psalms, because these are books that go over the love of God and how he corrects us when we are wrong.
Wow. Amen. 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 I just want to remind everybody that you can call in. If you have any questions, if you have any concerns, you know, please, you know, just call in. And the number to call is 319. That is 319. I am messing up with a number. See what that is?
All right. All right, let me get the number real quick because I definitely want people to call in, and I want people to be able to ask questions.
Is it the 527?
And you know, so let me get the number real quick. But also, I just want to throw this out there that, you know, we are dealing with a lot, and depression is real. Depression is in a place where, you know, people are losing a lot, you know, and they've lost jobs, and you know, they're trying to figure out their new normal, and they're stuck at home. And please, let me tell y'all, being stuck in the house with your kids, and you ain't been around, and you ain't really been with your kids for not only, like, during the daytime, for the 8 hours there in school, and then, you know, you come in every day and you're trying to figure out how to do homework and all that stuff. It's a lot. And people need to know what to do. I thank God for my wife who's able to, you know, who works with kids and knows how to do this thing. Let me tell you something. You let me be in a room with my kids for homework, they fail it. So, but seriously, I want you to call in. The number is 319-527-6091. That is 319-527-6091. If you have questions, if you have comments, concerns, thank you, Brother Rob, for texting me that number. Please call in and ask questions. If you just want to encourage Robin right now, hop on in and just share a word with her, because, you know, it takes a lot to have that type of boldness, to have that type of genuine sincerity and love for somebody else, to share their story and share your testimony. And that's powerful, and I thank God for you. I'm telling you, like I always tell you, I tell you all the time, I said, look, God got something for you, babe. God will take you somewhere. And you have no idea who you're blessing. And you're being a blessing. I know that you think that, you know, Verity is being a blessing to you, but no, you're being a blessing to us. And we really mean that. You know, when we see you, we are blessed. Every time you walk through the door, you know, I told you, you know, every time you walk through the door, you are a prayer being answered.
Thank you.
Every single time you walked in it, we prayed for you. We said we wanted our church to be filled with people with different experiences, people with different backgrounds, and who are willing to do the work of the Lord, who are willing to get their hands dirty. And when you walked through that door, you were answered prayer. So
amen.
I thank God for you. I really do. I thank God for you. While we're in this transition, we are going to go into the call of salvation, because, you know, after all what's been said and everything that's been said, you know, what's the point of it being said if we're not bringing someone to Christ through it? You know, we can share our experiences, but the reason why we're sharing our experiences is because we want to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And so, you know, right now, somebody may be listening and they hear your story and they're saying, hey, I dealt with that too. I'm dealing with that too. How do I break this cycle? How do I get better? And you know, all throughout Robin's testimony, she said, I needed Jesus. Mm-hmm. All throughout her testimony, she said, you should say, I needed Jesus. If the word was in me, if God was in me, then maybe I would have dealt with this thing different. And I'm telling you, everything starts with asking Christ to come into your heart, asking him to come into your heart, asking him to be your personal savior, recognizing that he died for your sins. And not only did he die for your sins, but he rose again and is coming back for you. And then the next step is accepting him into your heart and allowing him to be Lord of your life. You know, a lot of times we think salvation is this big bang. We think fireworks are going to go off, and sometimes they do. But maybe it didn't. But don't you know, it's not about the fireworks. It's about the confession. If we confess with our, if we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, then we are saved. So somebody is listening right now and they want to know about the saving power, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you this, that if it was not for Christ in our lives, not just Robin, mine too, if it was not for Christ in our lives, we would be lost. But because God himself, looked on us and he loved us so much that he was willing to die and sacrifice himself for us, that's why we chose him, because he chose us first. And I'm praying, I'm going to pray right now, I'm going to pray that somebody chooses Christ. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that you're bringing us closer to you, that you're using this experience to show us who you are in a new way. So, God, there is somebody right now who is listening, somebody who's dealing with mental illness, who's dealing with depression, who's dealing with, you know, being in a relationship that hinders them and is not good for them. Someone who is a single mother and they're trying to figure it out. Someone who's trying to work hard but don't want to break the commandments. God, there's somebody who needs you. And whatever that thing is that they need you in, whatever that place is that they need you in, God, I ask that you fill the void, that you come in, that you begin to clean house, and you fill the house with your love, fill their hearts with your love. And God, that soul that said, I want to be with you, that soul that chose you, thank you. God, I ask that they find a community of believers who are going to love on them, who are going to guide them and protect them and show them how to tell somebody else how to get you. So God, as we go throughout this ministry, as we go throughout this radio show, you show up. You show up on somebody's heart and you begin to move. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, right now, we're about to have our announcements. Star, are you with us? Amen. So that she can come in and do those announcements, because we need to know what's going on with PKN, Purpose Kingdom Network. And like I said, Robin, thank you. Thank you so much. At the announcements, we're going to get your information, because people need to get to you. They need to know who you are, how to get in contact with you.
Absolutely.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Real quickly.
All right.
I'm just going to go ahead and do the announcement. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. And if you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com where you can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We're glad to honor that. We greatly appreciate the listenership that we have from you, whether you're calling online or via phone. We thank you so much for supporting us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We're also on Instagram and Twitter. At purpose_kingdom, we're gonna do likewise. We are also, if you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. We can simply type in the host name or the show name. You can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we wish you would invite and tell a friend about Purpose Kingdom Network. Also, we just had our last seven words sermon. So if you want to hear a nice sermon, just go simply to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom, and you can just type in the last seven words, and you'll hear an awesome sermon by most of our ministers, pastors, and our hosts from Purpose Kingdom Network. And just don't, like I said, feel free to share with a friend. Well, guys, we want God's blessing to join us all evening at the 8 p.m. hour. Let's take the time at the 8 p.m. hour. We're going to have, I hear Roman. Roman's helping me out there in the background. Nice job, Roman. Guys, we want God's blessing at the 8 p.m. hour. We hope you rejoin us tomorrow evening. And like I said, please note at the 8 p.m. hour, is going to be Minister Bernard Merrill, and he will be here with By Faith We're Good. And once again, with God's blessing, you'll be joining us tomorrow evening at the 8 p.m. hour with By Faith We're Good, hosted by Minister Bernard Merrill. This is one of our ministers that we had on the last 7 words. Like I said, if you get a chance, please check that out. We're also on Facebook. We like us, so you can like us on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom. We can see some of our upcoming shows and our advertisements. And you can just feel free to check out any of our social media pages for a morning word of inspiration. If you just, like, you know, our evening broadcast, you can also go in the morning and listen to Morning Word Praise. And that's going to be on Anchor.com or Anchor FM. And you can just simply type in Purpose Kingdom. Or you can just follow any of our social media pages. We need a link, and you can get a Morning Word of Praise. And with that being said, thank you so much for everybody for joining us for tonight's broadcast. We thank you so much. And with that being said, I'm just going to turn the handset over to Reverend Arthur Burgess and his guest, Minister Robin, and Roman in the background. Thank you so much.
That's my little showstopper. He just prayed.
I should have put on the flyer, Minister Robin and our special guest, Roman. That should have been put on the flyer. That should have been the first thing I did. But and my son is talking too, because he is all over the place. But
yes.
You know, so it's not just Roman, it's my son AJ as well. So, also, Robin, can you please tell people how they can get in contact with you via social media? They can follow your page and just, you know, get to know you a little better.
Absolutely. So, on social media, Instagram, my name is Robin Love, so it's RobinLoveE, 2 V's. And on Facebook, it's my regular name, Robin Presley. You can find me. So it's RobinPre, 2 S's, LEY.
All right. And guys, you can always follow me on Arthur Burgess. That's Facebook, and Arthur Burgess Third, that's Instagram, DM, or instant message me, and I'll be glad to answer questions, visit your ministry, or just, you know, get involved with any way possible. Also, what I'm going to be doing as well is, right now the city needs a lot of help, and Verity, we open our pantry up to those who are in need, and what we'll do is I'll send a text to Brother Rob and Pastor Toy, so anybody who needs help, food, you know, just any other necessities, we are open to help those in need. So I'll definitely pass that message along. I did want to get a song for Robin, but I'll get that next time. If Pastor Toy is there, I would be glad to get any comments from her. But if not, I just want to thank you guys for tuning in. You were a blessing, Robin. You were a blessing. Roman, you were a blessing. And you, he makes us smile. I'm telling you, that boy makes everybody smile. He's special. And I just thank God for y'all. So with that being said, you know what? Definitely sending a special prayer to Brother Rob, who hung in there tonight. You know, he wasn't feeling well, but he pulled through, and I thank God for him. You know, he came during the clutch. You know, he wasn't feeling well, but he pulled it out. And I thank God for him. And special prayer for those who are dealing with a lot of challenges right now. You won't believe how many calls I've gotten from the hospital, video chats I've gotten from the hospital asking for prayer. You know, people who are
who are just tired and overwhelmed, and they need hope and they need love. Y'all, love is contagious. I know that we're talking about this virus thing, but love is contagious. Let us love somebody, not with our words, but with our actions.
Amen.
If you know somebody is in need, if you know somebody needs help, help them. Help them. Be a blessing to someone, especially those younger and our elderly people. Be a blessing. I have ladies, older ladies who can't get out to the grocery store, who can't, you know, get out and cook meals like that. So 3 days a week, I send meals to their home. I cook and prep their meals, and they are just happy and excited. And man, just their excitement is all I needed. Like, just the fact that they're smiling and happy is all I needed. So, you know, get out and show somebody else some love, you know, even through this process. You know, the Bible tells us if we do these things to the least of them, you've done it unto me. So every time we are a blessing to someone else, we're really a blessing to Jesus.
Amen.
So let's do that. Let's be a blessing to not just others, but just be a blessing to Christ. All right. God bless you. We are closing out. And like I said, just be a blessing to somebody. So we're going to close out and pray real quick. All right, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you are doing with kingdom purpose, with purpose kingdom. I ask that you just begin to build, God, and let someone see you in us as we walk through these streets, as we begin to, you know, go out into the community. Let somebody see you through us. And God, you remove us, you push us out the way, you move us out the way, and you begin to shine. And we ask that in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Can't wait to see you next time on the Healing Hour.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. He set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
Nah.
Save me.
I will not lose.
Yeah.